Okay, we're joined here. I've got Melinda here. What the hell are you doing here?
Well, I saw you in the lift and I recognised Andy Partridge.
And Colin Moulding, of course. XTC, you're here. Thank you very much
they
for coming
They can't along. Afford us. I'm going to have to break this immediately by saying he has the most expensive impersonators.
Then you don't really look like them, but you sound like them.
You
I think
smell
that's
like
the trick.
Them. That's oh, the real...
That's the beauty.
The pheromones.
You've been all around the world, haven't you? That's why you're sweaty so much.
Yeah, the big old square world. We've sanded the edges off, flying around. It's been a talk-a-thon.
And whereabouts have you been?
We've been to... let me see. New York, LA, Tokyo, Osaka, Brussels, Ninja.
Do you
want to
talk about
Cologne,
pop music?
And are you bored?
A little, yeah.
So we'll talk about Wasp Star, if we're allowed to, which is your album. Why is it called that?
Why is it called Wasp Star?
Why are there two of them?
Read a great thing yesterday. Someone said it was about Sting. They said this American article said, sarcastic Sting, Wasp Star, get it? It
was... Oh!
No.
Is it?
No. What do I want to sing about him for?
Well, some people say, I don't know if you know this, they say you sound like Sting a little bit.
No.
So I've had, and
nobody said that Sting sounds a tad like Bob Marley ever. Get your yo-yos out. Yo. But he used to come and see our early rubbish live. Well, he'd be down the front.
That's what I was saying. He used to be big friends with Sting and the Police and all that.
Oh, we were like that. That was me on top doing all the wriggling.
No, they
one.
Let us share
shrimping,
tour,
doing the shrimping on top.
That was the.
They let us.
They let us share their tour bus because they had an enormous tour bus, and there was only three of them in it, so they let us share their tour bus.
Does it make you jealous that? I mean, what do you think of Sting's music now? Do you think it's a bit rubbish?
I actually think some of it's okay, but you know, I stand to be boiled alive, broiled alive.
Ex-Feminist is going, get it off.
Of it's not bad. Some of it is a load of old toss, but some of it is not. But occasionally, he writes a good tune. But that's like, you know, most people occasionally write a good tune.
Hey, you guys always write good tunes.
Oh,
you see what I'm doing?
Here, huge check passing unnoticed.
Thanks
under
very
microphone.
Much. Taking it, lovely. Put that in my pocket.
Buttering apps going there.
It's a lot of buttering going on. It's high in polyunsaturates, I think.
All right, I'm going to ask a boring question. You must have been asked before. Why was there 6 years between the last couple of albums? You've done nothing for a long time, and then you come out with two.
It was the strike. We had to get out of Virgin Records. We had an iniquitous, that's a real bleak house of a word, that, isn't it? Iniquitous deal.
Or was it that we were just bone idle?
Bone idle, yeah.
Too lazy.
Billy Bone Idle. we weren't going to make any money on Virgin, so we had to escape. You know, we had a sort of back of fag packet deal. And we never made any money in 20 years on the label.
Really?
Not from the sale of records, no.
But so, and how do you go on strike? You just say, right, I'm not recording
yeah, songs. Plectrum's down. Guitar. Plectrum's down, brothers.
We were two Arthur Scargills, that's what we were.
So what did you do in those years off?
Arthur Scargill.
What did you do in those years off? Just write songs?
We just wrote and stored up songs and denied we were writing and storing up songs, yeah. Of course. And they said, you chaps going in the studio soon? And we said, nope. You're not going to get any more songs from us. And then they got sick of us bad-mouthing them in the press, and they eventually let us out. So I guess they lost the staring contest. They blinked, basically.
Fantastic, you beat them.
We beat the system.
And so how did Apple Venus come about? Because it's obviously very orchestral. Why have you chosen to go that way?
Well, we had just a lot of stuff, and we just thought we had to divide it up because we've been kind of criticised in the past for kind of mixing things up too much. And we like albums that really flow together. And we thought, Christ, if we mix all this stuff up, nobody's going to make head or tail of this, you know.
So we thought it was a good thing to get the cleaver out and say, OK, well, we've got four albums worth of stuff. Let's pick the two best albums and see if we can find a colour for each one. I've gone all serious.
Yes, oh, listen to this. This is lovely.
See if one can find a palette. But who's the art critic? Brian Stewart.
Brian Stewart.
I'll tell you, Brian Stewart.
That's a very good question.
See if we could find a palette for it. Find the colours. So the orchestral one was browns and turquoise. And then we thought, well, we've got a load of electric stuff, so we'll put all that together and we'll make an electric site. It was originally intended to come out as a double package, but we just ran out of money, I'm afraid.
So what's your favourite song on Apple Venus?
Volume 1. Easter Theatre.
Now, that's my favourite song as well.
No, it's not.
It's my favourite song on the album. Come on now. My favourite song.
You haven't discovered the one around the rim. The hidden track.
Oh. My favourite XTC song of all time is Senses Working Overtime, which you must know, is one of the best pop songs ever written.
Apparently, we have to go and talk to the BBC about this tomorrow. They're filming a series where, old farts come out of the cupboard and talk about things. So we have to go and talk to BBC. I want to do Brian Sewell again. I'm going to get
do the whole thing as Brian Sewell if you like.
Brian Sewer.
Different thing.
Brian Sewer, the unknown punk singer.
But are you aware that I spoke to a friend of mine last night, said, oh, I'm interviewing XTC. He said, oh, you must tell them that Sense of Working Overtime is the best pop song ever. There's no shadow of doubt about it.
Thank you.
Are you aware of that?
You got the check then, didn't you?
Yeah, of course.
I actually, my idea of the best pop song ever would probably be something like, I did like Pop Music by M, funny enough, and was very annoyed that they wrote that and we didn't.
Good guitar figure.
Lovely, that. Can I stamp in here?
Of course, come on. This is like a party.
People downstairs are not going to complain.
No. It's only Dr. Fox downstairs. He doesn't mind. He's up for a good rocking session as well. Without sounding boring, do you mind if we play Sense of Working Overtime?
No, give it a whiz.
Are you sure?
Yeah, if you've got the cylinder, put it on.
Let's have it. Cool. We'll stop there for it.
Sorry, I didn't know that you were leaving.
Okay. XTC, fantastic. Sense is Working Overtime. We're just talking about Harvest Festival, which is Melinda's favourite song on Apple Venus Volume 1. Why do you like it?
Yes, why?
I like it because of that look that he gives.
The longing look.
Yeah, she gives him the longing look lasts all year.
Two kids, dangling, hair-encrusted, chewing gum-covered look.
Two kids in a Harvest Festival, and she gives him this longing look lust.
It's filth, isn't it? It's just unadorned filth.
Absolutely.
It's nothing to do with the scraping chairs at the start, then.
That's fantastic. That reminds me of Assembly straight away.
Me and him had to scrape every one of those bloody chairs for that recording. We did 24 tracks of chair scraping in his hall. Not a hall, not like Assembly
You've
hall.
You've got too much technology at your fingertips if that's what you're doing. No, it's 6 years to record an album.
It's just very stupid. We're just praying the postman wasn't going to ring the doorbell because we're in his hallway.
It's in my house.
It's in his house.
Missus is trying to watch telly.
Keeping the volume on a sensible level. We've got a bit of multi-tracking to do, isn't it? And it's me and him dragging chairs up his corridor 24 times until it sounded like school assembly, you know.
Fantastic.
Wow.
That's a lovely
so
song.
Cool.
Calm down. Look at you getting all excited. Calm down. Well, we might have that in a second. Moving on to Wasp Star. How long did that take you to record?
Oh, Wasp Star, by the way, is Aztec for Venus.
Is it?
Nothing to do with Sting.
All right. Okay. Yeah. So it's not a bitchy comment
it's
about the
Aztec phrase
singer.
For Sting. No, it's he thought he'd come down and say their civilization. You know,
there's bloody temples everywhere. Get them bloody leveled. Get a bit of jungle growing over them. Be bloody great.
You're the new Bobby Davro. This is fantastic.
Yes.
I'm the old Bobby Davro.
Oh, crikey.
Or
Bobby Scaro.
Bobby Scaro.
Who's Bobby? Are you talking about Bobby Davros?
Bobby, brilliant! Where did we get that? 20 points to them,
of course.
Bobby Davros.
Bless him. So how long did it take? Moving on from Daleks and Impressionists, if we can.
Yes.
Although I know you're famous for talking about those in the past.
Talking gibberish.
How long did Vosplar take to record?
It was pretty damn quick, actually.
Started in August, finished at the end of January.
All mixed and done
Christmas.
And flew out like a greased banana, really.
Now, I've been asked to ask you a question. When you're recording your own songs, do you play all the instruments on your own song, or do you do it as a band?
Well, we sort of play on each other's bits and pieces,
you
know.
Play on each other's
stuff. He spends most of the time trying to stop me playing on his songs.
Yeah.
There's a lot of guitar swinging. Get back, will ya?
I play on his stuff and he plays on mine.
So, but you don't do it White Album style or anything, go off in your separate things? And
not present, you mean?
Yeah.
No, we pretty much play on everything, I think.
Cool.
No, we sit and take the piss out of each other. It's all very democratic.
Do you ever come in with a song and play it and the other one goes, oh, that's rubbish, we're not recording that, it's embarrassing?
No, it's usually, you don't have to say, I can't do it because you haven't got colour radio, but it's usually that
face. Most of our listeners are listening in colour.
It's this face.
Well, it's usually the silence speaks volumes, isn't it?
Yeah. 11. That's the volume it speaks, is 11.
Dead air.
What's your favourite song on the new album? Or do you think they're all lovely, the old children?
Oh, I haven't really got a favourite.
They're all lovely.
That comes in time, doesn't it? I haven't really got a favourite.
I'm keen on the really crass one, Stupidly Happy.
Mm.
Because it's as far as you can take one chord, I think.
Yeah.
One chord too far.
It's a one chord wonder.
Are you going to release that as a single?
We ought to. I don't know whether we can afford to, because it costs a lot of money.
How come? You're
big
pop stars.
I mean, video. Do you know how much a video costs these days? I mean, we'd like to put out a Flickr book, you know, or Zoetrope, something on the sort of cheap.
Well, those things, a Viewmaster.
Yeah, give a Viewmaster disc. That'd be brilliant, you know. But people don't really sort of show Flickr books on MTV, you know, one camera angle and keep sort of. I mean, most videos start at like $100,000. We've been ringing people up about making video for The Man Who Murdered Love from Wasp Star. And you can hear the phone going away from their ear and back to the receiver when you tell them there's only 70 grand to play with.
That's so incredible.
Yes.
I've got a video camera. Come on, we'll do one one afternoon.
Exactly.
We'll do it cheap style.
The old sort of batter shoebox with a pinhole.
Right, okay. But my favourite song, I'm going to get this title wrong, I know I'm being embarrassed in front of you. The Maypole and the Wheel.
The Wheel and
Wheel Maypole, and sorry. Maypole. That's a fantastic song. What is that all about?
Well, it's two songs. It was one song called... If the Pot Won't Hold Our Love, which was just a lot of rustic filth, to be truthful. It's a long list of single entendres with a kind of, you know, it's like a sort of what's the name of that scarecrow? What was his name? Famous scarecrow, John Pertwee.
Wurzel Gummidge.
Yes, it's like sort of Randy Wurzel Gummidge, really. It's terrible if you can't think of his name.
It's a load of Gummidge, really.
Wurzel Bainbridge. That's what. So it's sort of like a lot of a single entendre. Rustic kind of naughtiness, and I couldn't find an end for it, and I had another song called Everything Decays and I couldn't find a start for that, so I thought, well, if I do a bit of mangling here and sew them together and see what happens and leave them, you know, it might, and it worked.
A lot of your songs are about shagging, basically, aren't they? They're about your penis.
They are about my penis, which is fantastically hugely average but perfectly formed. Stand back, girls, I don't know how big this thing gets.
Go on, you're supposed to talk about winkies, go on.
Was it my favourite chat-up line I heard recently was, I love every bone in your body, especially mine.
That's terrible.
It is terrible. Are you circumcised? Are you circumcised?
What?
Just thought I'd ask.
What was the other one? My face leaves this bar at 9 o'clock. Be on it.
That's disgusting. You haven't answered my question.
Sorry, what was it?
Oh, no, never mind.
It was rude.
We're entertaining ourselves here.
I'll put it this way, we both like a bit of lace, don't we? We both like our...
Oh, so were you talking about, you know, where we chiselled?
Yeah, foreskins, what I was on about.
Oh, foreskins. Well,
how,
I mean,
how has it descended into this?
It's got so much of it. I've got a five skin. It's really just... Oh, I liked it in the book. I don't like it now it's up.
Colin, if we can talk about your songs for a little while, just if you don't mind, it's not winking.
We're both laced.
We shouldn't have brought her in.
We're both very laced.
Now, I got is it the import single of I'm the Man Who Murdered Love?
Right.
And there's a song on there, a demo of yours. I can't remember what it's called. And it's an amazing, amazing song. I'm going to have to look in my bag.
It's called...
I'm sorry, so I don't remember.
It's called Didn't Hurt a Bit.
It's called Didn't Hurt a Bit.
That's what it's called, isn't it?
Where is that from?
It's about 10 years old. When we did it, we were going to do it for Nonsearch, but... I don't know, it got sort of argued out of existence, really.
But it's a lovely song, so I was listening to it, and it reminds me of the George Harrison song on the White Album. I can't remember, is it Long, Long, Long or
Long,
something?
Long, Long.
Yeah, it's got that sort of dream. It's a fantastic song. It's one of your best, man.
Well, it's kind of missed the moment, really, so we kind of just put it out as is, you know.
What do people say when you got... I mean, if you ever mention it, you say, oh, yeah, I'm the bloke that wrote Making Plans for Nigel. Do people get impressed with that?
No, they don't remember.
No.
No, they don't really remember it.
No.
You know, it's only... Only if they're fat and wide like me, you know.
You're not fat and wide.
Fran Fullenweider.
But yes. Do you get recognised a lot, both of you?
Not in our hometowns.
Unwanted posters.
On crime watch occasionally.
Zoophile. Have you seen this zoophile anyway?
Professional shrimpers.
How many O's are there in zoophile? I don't know. Is it three O's? Or is it spelt with an A? Anyway.
Yes.
I think Colin's proudest of Making Plans for Nigel, the fact that the phrase has entered the English language. You see it a lot on like newspaper headlines. It'll be Nigel Lawson or something, and it'll say Making Plans for Nigel, or it'll be someone else.
I think that's
else
the best compliment you can be paid, is if the nation kind of takes it into their consciousness and it comes out in a newspaper in a different context.
Yeah.
You know? I think that's the best compliment that can be
paid. You're like Shakespeare. You're affecting the language. You're creating it around you.
He's, are we really?
Yeah, molding, squeezing it until it exudes out and needs mopping up.
Well, I tell you what, we won't play that. Can we play Boarded Up from Wasp Dive?
Oh, if you must.
Or do you not want us to play that?
Well, play In Another Life. I think it's a bit more up-tempo.
Okay.
It?
You want to be up-tempo?
Yeah,
yeah, he's up-tempo guy.
He's a swinging cad today.
Okay, let's have In Another Life.
Have any of that?
No.
Oh, not doing it again.
Are you ready?
I just knew you played that game, though.
Shh, don't tell my mum she's been mad.
But he was saying, I agree with him.
When you heard the theme tune to Champion the Wonder Horse, did you go around the playground smacking your own backside and galloping?
Or in fact, any cowboy thing. You had to hit your own ass as you gallop.
Yeah, of course.
Brilliant.
To make you gallop faster.
And what noise did you make for a gun? Did you make da, pyow?
Yeah. It was pyow, of course.
Pyow.
Pyow.
Or was it k?
No, it was never...
No.
Sorry.
You like the ricochet thing?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Some kids just went, da. It was like, you know, sort of holding their entire hand out and going, da.
What's that? An open hand?
Yeah, it's like a visiting Russian dignitary. Yeah. Da.
You shake hands with that. You don't want
to... And when when you came back to life, what did you say? Were you Kree-ized? Were you... Were you Kree-ized or were you released?
I don't know.
It was neither of those.
You were. What were you, though? What was the word?
Do you know, I can't remember.
But you had to be released.
Released.
Released. Yeah. Released, mate.
And Kree-ized.
Kree-ized. You can't kill me on Kree-ized.
Oh, no, we have Fainites.
Fainites?
Fainites we had. And we had
Plugs. What the hell's Fainites? That's something they put in GM food.
I thought Fainites was the universal.
Contains no Fainites.
No, if you've got Fainites, you're safe. You can also have Plug and Injection 999. They are all. They will all save you from the lurgy and fleas. You'll never get fleas if you have those. This is
Mangies.
They do things altogether different up London way.
That's right. We don't know. What was it? What was the thing?
Fainites.
Fainites.
I thought that was a universal. Yeah.
You find them in Wookiee.
Polyunsaturates.
Do you know what we're talking about?
Fainites.
I play these sort of games.
Who wants to play war? No girls allowed.
No, unless they were nurses.
Oh, of course, yeah. You get tended by a nurse.
You get tended by a nurse. And she'd get her hanky and spit on it. And cover your face in her spittle,
get
basically.
Off girls.
Yeah, and then you'd end the game with a face covered, stinking of spit. Really?
See, now I pay
and
for
that. And Fainites.
Yeah, exactly. Fainites never saves you from spit.
Fainites go up and Faingrites come down or something. I can never remember.
You've been on the radio for 10 minutes talking about Fainites. Now do you know why you don't sell records anymore?
Really, yeah.
Does it disappoint you? Do you ever think, we should be the biggest pop stars ever?
Ever in the history of everness.
Yeah, all our singles
not
are
really.
Hits.
We'd probably split up years ago, had we, you know.
Had success.
Had we been called
in. Lack of success has been really great for us, because we've had something to try for.
But did you not sit there sometimes just looking at people like big pop stars like Gary Newman and things like that and going, they're rubbish, I should be doing that.
Gary Newman and the Newman Band.
Yeah. Maybe not the most hippest reference I could have made, but do you ever get upset with that, or have you resigned?
I wish I had my pilot's license.
I see that sort of thing and I think it's probably not for me, you know. Mm. I'll end up some grumpy old songwriter just writing songs that nobody wants to cover, I think.
All right, in that
drawing
case,
me dull.
Does it frustrate you that you obviously made, you know, Wafstar and Apple Venus, which are both amazing albums. Does it frustrate you that more people are going to hear it? There's going to be a limited number of people
going to
hear it.
Yes, that's the big frustration, that radio stations don't think to play it. Mm. They just don't think.
Apart from this one, of course. You play it all the time, don't you, Ian?
I play too much. I get told off by my mum. So, playing that darn racket.
Stop that rum pop.
Who shot that rum pop up? Get a job. It's not a tune. All you do is spend all that time tuning up. Can't you play a melody?
Beatles or Monkees?
Oh. Well, the Monkees are groovier house.
Yeah, of course.
Except for Lennon's bed in the floor.
Yeah, that was lovely.
That was better. And the Monkees didn't have, but the Monkees did have a circular staircase.
Yeah.
And they had the
same bedroom.
I wanted to be Peter Tork so badly.
Why? Because really? Of the hat.
I got my mum's catalogue, a Trafford's or whatever it was, and I sent away for the double-breasted shirt, and I had the cord hipsters with the big belt. That's when I had hips. Instead of boom. You can't buy hipsters.
Stop talking about your winky again. Come on.
Yeah. Right. And I wanted desperately to be Peter Tork. I used to practice swinging my hair when I had one. I used to practice swinging it. Backwards and forwards.
I was Peter Tork was doing a gig at the Borderline on Saturday, and I was supposed to go. I had tickets from a big fan of the Monkees.
Would you have gobbed? Gone in the front moshing?
Yeah,
I'd have
moshed to Peter Tork. But I couldn't go because I upset the Borderline. I made a frivolous comment the other week saying that Syd Barrett was doing a gig at the Borderline. They got 80 calls, and then they phoned up XFM and had a go at me and said, we don't ever want to see your face here again. So I had to give my Peter Tork tickets away. I was gutted.
That's awful.
I know it's awful. So I learned to shut my big mouth.
My music career owes a lot to the Monkees because I won £10 in a draw a monkey competition in the Monkees Monthly.
Do you know what? I've got that.
You haven't?
I'm sure I've got that because I used to be well into the Monkees and I bought a few of the Monkees Monthlies and I read that and I was like, I've definitely got that. I know I have.
Well, I won £10 and with that £10 I bought a tape recorder which I started experimenting with feedback and hitting the gas fire and recording it at different speeds and being a little sort of teenage ambient at 13, you know, and it started me down and now look at me. Help, I am a prisoner in an ugly, violent industrial town in the north of Wiltshire.
But do you know, you're talking about the ambience and making noise and stuff. Do you ever feel like you should maybe do an album that go the full Captain Beefheart weirded out noise route that no one would get? Do you ever fancy
sort of
that?
You know, shove a Koto in a blender and record that?
Smiled and twisted!
I do a good Beefheart.
Really?
He does a good Antenna Jimmy Siemens because we did a Beefheart tribute for a thing years ago in, 87. It was an album called Fast and Bulbous, and we did Ella Guru, which I thought was like the simplest song on Trent Mass Replica you could cover. But it was like trying to untangle the Western Front. It was like barbed wire, you know. How do you make sense of this stuff? But it was good fun doing a Beefheart, because I do like Beefheart, I have to say.
He knows how to construct a bizarre song, doesn't it?
Now, you see them walking, looking like a zoo.
Now,
if there are a market for B-flat impressionists, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, stars in their eyes. Andy Partridge.
That's what we want to see. We want B-flat Zappa and Wild Man
Fisher.
Old Matey
was the really condescending bloke. What's his name?
Oh, Matthew Kelly.
Yeah, him, yeah.
Tonight you're going to be. Tell us who you're going to be. Oh, I'm going to be Bloody Captain B-flat.
Tonight I'm going to be Wild Man Fisher and Zappa. That will be a gig.
Oh, merry-go-round.
Wild Man Fisher plays a big part on our show. He's regularly played on
our... Seriously?
We got a fantastic double CD. It was a limited edition of 1,000. I don't think they've sold out yet, surprisingly.
Exactly. Yeah. They've sold nearly one.
Yeah, but it's got 100 Wild Man Fisher songs on. It's torture. It's quite painful. Now, I heard a rumour. Is it true that you were asked, or you asked to, when they were doing the big Freddie Mercury concert, that you asked to play at it at Wembley and they said no?
No, not at all.
Oh.
They asked us to play.
Oh, really? Asked you?
Yeah, vaguely remember being asked that and just, nah.
You didn't fancy
it? No, I didn't like Queen much.
Yeah, I thought I couldn't really see the connection between you.
No, I really don't. Yeah, no, not Queen.
Well, they probably thought that they'd get it for cheap.
That's what it was, yeah.
Yes.
But I was not really a Queen fan. They were just a bit too sort of...
Come on, we will rock you, huh? Oh, no, that's rubbish. They've just done that with Five, haven't they?
Yes, they have.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
It's a terrible...
Tragic.
Oh, no.
Who's your favourite boy band?
Everyone's the Monkees, unfortunately.
Any of modern day? Everyone's got one to go, oh, they're not bad. They're quite good.
Of course, the Monkees didn't write their own songs.
God. No, they all look like Nazi breeding experiments, these boy bands, you know. They look like this sort of... They took a perfect Aryan couple and you know, grew these kids from planters.
Yeah.
And it's a dance routine and good dentistry.
You're so right. Can I ask a question?
Yes.
What worries me as a concerned female about you guys, I mean, the money side of it, do you have to do other jobs to keep going, you know?
We made profit in 1997. After 20 years.
That was the first time?
That was the first time our records went into continuous profit. So then, it was we were living on PRS money, you know, performing
no
rights society.
No good at handling money, either of us.
Really. Oh, no, we're really...
So was it your fault you didn't have money, or was it people messing
around?
It was
our fault indirectly for signing various bits of paper, but, you know... People put these bits of paper in front of you and you kind of sign them and get it out of the way.
Yeah, and then you deny that's your thumbprint later.
You know, those bits of paper happen to be blank checks.
Blank checks, blank contracts. Yeah.
Just awful with money, you know.
So, but, you know, our story in the kind of the pop rip-off business is only average.
Mm.
Everyone gets done.
But you've not been shrimped
by shrimped since.
And filched.
No, there's no...
Okay, come on, quick questions, because I know you've got to shoot off. The boring, boring question, are you ever going to play any concerts again?
Would you like me to get all serious?
Yes,
go
please.
On.
See, when you're young, when you're a kid, you're in a gang, right? You either join the Navy or the Army, or you're in a pop band, or rock and roll band, whatever you want to call it. And you want to go and see the world and drink it dry, do all the women, deafen all the dads.
Pillage.
Pillage, yeah, whatever that is. We can't decide what pillaging is.
I'm sure we've done it.
It's a small village made by Public Image Limited. It's, I don't know. And you know, but and we were like that too. We wanted to go and see the world and do all that. And then you do that for 5 years, and then you sort of get it out of your system. And I was, I'm deadly serious. I was addicted to Valium, which was a terrible thing. And I was addicted to Valium from about the age of 13 onwards. I didn't know what it was. I just thought, oh, doctors tell me to take this stuff. My mother's nutty, so I have to take tablets. You work it out. But that was the late 60s, early 70s, you know.
Yeah.
So after 5 years of touring, and I came off of Valium while we were doing this 5 years of touring, I was wondering why we weren't seeing a penny from any live shows. And I was thinking, well, maybe this isn't a life for me. And then my body started playing up and saying, you don't want to be doing this. And it started sort of freaking me out. And I thought, it's right, I don't want to be doing this. I'd rather be doing the stuff I really like, which is making records. Mm-hmm. And then I started sort of thinking really deeply and then sort of getting all philosophical and think, well, why is pop music, why do you have to have it live? Why is it the only art form, that and theatre,
It's
the only art forms that have supposed only have validity if they're live? But you don't get that with films. You don't see a filmmaker or you know, book. You don't see an author on stage with a typewriter and he sort of types chapter 5 and suddenly
live book writing
from
Wembley.
And then the girls with the big tits and the lighters on the boyfriend's shoulder. He's doing chapter 5.
life, Dave.
Hooray, nice one, man. You know, they don't have to do. You don't see a sculptor on stage, you know, sort of like people leaping up and trying to dance around the sculpture, and Rhodey's throwing them off as he's chiseling the head. You know, bloody hell, he's doing the shoulders. This is my favourite bit.
And you know what? I think it's the same sort of terror that you feel when you're at school and you're asked to read out an assembly. Yeah.
Really? It feels like that?
Yeah. It feels like that every night.
If you're not, a seasoned public performer, you know, then you find all that hard. And I think just because you write a few tunes, it doesn't necessarily mean that you can take care of that side of it as well. You know what I mean?
So you're not getting bored. You're feeling fine, though. You're not...
Feeling fab, apart from the gum infection.
Oh no!
Yes, I've got
starting to dribble a bit.
Yes, gum infection.
What happened to the Valium?
What happened to the Valium? That was actually all flushed down the lavatory of the Tropicana Motel by my girlfriend at the time. She said, I don't want you taking this muck anymore. Poured it all down. I freaked out. It's the only time I've ever smashed up a hotel room. Because I thought my crutch had been removed, you know.
Okay, listen, you've got to go. I'm going to ask you one question each, which I know is impossible. Colin, what's the best XTC song ever? It's a terrible question, but I need an answer.
I don't know. bloody hell. There's several, I suppose. There's several that probably... Time.
Which ones really stand out that you're incredibly proud of? You think, yeah, I played on those, I wrote those.
I like Frivolous Tonight, and I like Easter Theatre. Mm. And, dear God, you put me on the spot.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
Naughty man.
They're flummoxed him.
You pick up the chalice on this one, Pat.
They've named some good songs there, Andy, what...
Oh, pardon.
I don't know that one. Is that the one with the bootlegs?
You should hear the dance remix. That was very Liam and Noel. Noel Coward and Liam Coward, the stroppy one. I don't know what are our best songs.
We're still getting there.
We're serving our apprenticeship. It's for you to answer. And you, and you, and you, and you, and you.
All the listeners. An album coming out again soon?
We hope to be in his big fancy garden shed again as soon as we can.
Yes,
and,
my garage. That's what it is. That's where we record our records.
In his garage. His car's out there rusting.
Yeah, absolutely.
His family's got to suffer for the sake of our art.
Yes.
Okay, listen, we're gonna have to go there. You've got to go. Any songs you want to play off the new album before we go?
Play The Lot.
The whole album?
The whole lot.
I think I might get the sack.
I'll tell you what doesn't get played.
Yeah.
Is You and the Cleds Will Still Be Beautiful.
Okay.
And if anyone says it sounds like Sting, I'll be around there.
XTC, thank you very much for coming. It's been lovely.
Cheers, my dears.
See ya.